In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Now, when you take a look at what the fathers of the church have given us this day to pray in terms of the gospel, you will find that it is not segmented according to a theme that is consistent with the commentaries of the holy fathers of the church. And what I mean by that is that they have added two lines. And these are the first two that occur. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Right? Actually, it's one line. I beg your pardon. And this one line is very important, because we touched on it. You know, when we read the gospel of the day, it's important that and by the way, it would be great if all of you had calendars. You can get them on your phone. The app is very easy. And then on Saturday or some close day to the service, to read what is going to be prayed, as we have just finished praying it now, but then to read what comes before and what comes after. Because this is something that is taken out of context and we're looking at it, but you have to remember that it belongs to some place. It belongs to a narrative that had a beginning further out, and it has an ending and a conclusion further on. So, he's giving the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning he is giving his apostles the chance to flex their spiritual muscles. I was listening to a priest, and he was giving a speech at a third day prayer for someone, and he made errors. He's a new priest. And I was sitting next to him, and I didn't correct him, because he's a new priest. But he said things that were clearly wrong. Now, they weren't so wrong as they touched on theology. They were just wrong in terms of his own use of the scripture to make another point. And these are things that you can tolerate, because it doesn't really hurt anybody. It's like if somebody looks up at the stars and they predict what the day is going to be tomorrow. Well, it's not going to hurt anybody in particular, because the day will unfold as it's going to unfold, whether this person's predictions are true and accurate or not. He's just looking up and saying, I think it's going to be a good day tomorrow. It may be raining fire from the heavens, but he does not know. So it doesn't matter. And this is one of those kinds of things. Well, the Lord had to give those who were newly sent a chance to do some things. And so they came back from having rebuked spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and they were very flush and full of themselves using this power, and they were very much impressed by it, and he said, calm down. This was a mistake of a new group of people giving a gift that had been given to them first to the multitudes, and then feeling the acclaim and seeing the result of that power in use. Now, so then what did he do? He took them all to a deserted place. Why? Because that's where the instruction was going to take place, and that's where the correction was going to take place. You don't do it if you want to really correct somebody. You never do it in public unless you know the person to be humble. Most people are not humble. Most people are egotistical and proud, And so if you speak to them a word of correction in public, they will be so embarrassed or so incensed and therefore angry that they will turn on you. It doesn't matter the truth of what you say. They will just turn on you. And so the Jesus, he's the father of all of us. He knows the inclinations of men. You know, these are people that are beginning. You know, when we have a new patriarch, do you think the first day on the job the patriarch Tawadros II was 10% of Shenouda III? You know, no, he's just on the job. He's just on the job. Now he will use his relationship to God through his office and the power that he receives, and he will learn from it daily, and he will grow and grow and grow into the office, and we don't know what he will become like. He may be one of the greatest patriarchs ever, but we don't know. It's like a baby. You have a baby in your arms. What is that baby going to be when that baby grows up? You don't know. It's like an idea that an engineer or someone has, and they think that this is going to be an improvement for mankind. You don't know. It holds promise. It holds expectancy. It holds a type of energy wherein you may trust in the future and think that what is going to fall as a consequence to you is going to be a better life. So the Lord, he gave them the power, they used the power, then they went to a deserted place. Now, the multitudes follow the Lord around as you would expect. And when they say multitudes, you know we're talking about the serving of the multitudes from the five loaves and the two fish. It says there were 5,000 men. Well, if you count women and children, it may have been closer to 12,000 people. Another 5,000 women and children besides. Families tended to be a little bit bigger in those days anyway because of the type of infant mortality and the type of things that happened during childhood that would take one's life. And so you didn't just have a minimum number of children. You had the number of children that were a blessing to your family, not knowing the future, but knowing that you needed to have help when you became old. There's a terrible thing that's happening in China right now, whether you know it or not. Old women who have lost their husbands are committing suicide by droves. In China, they have a one-child policy, or have had for a long time, so there's no one to take care of an old woman should she lose her husband. They don't have a kind of umbrella that is going to cover her in her time of need socially. So it falls on the family, and sometimes the mother may have been living in the country, and the children are in, or the child is married with children in a small apartment in one of the large cities, and there's no room for the mother-in-law, and she feels that she's not wanted or cared for, so she just commits suicide. You know, it's a godless society, and this is the result. You use something while it has utility, and when it is finished, you discard it. It's no good for anything. Well, it impacts everybody's dignity when that takes place. So, the Lord always had throngs of people coming. And when he had spoken for hours, And they came to listen. Do you know how few people there are that have the mind that wants to listen about just expository lessons from the Bible? Do you know how few people will sit, especially when it's not in air-conditioned comfort, when you have no more than grass to sit on, and you're outside, and there are the distractions of other people around you, and you are hanging on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Think about those people, how hungry they were. Well, then the disciples starting to have this sense of care. They are in a real sense becoming fathers, having children, and responding to the needs of their children. They said to the Lord, let's send these people away, Lord. There's nothing for them here to eat or drink. There's no shelter. There's nothing. And he said, you give them. You give them. Sometimes people come to me and they ask me for things for which there are no answers. There are just no answers. There are things that are so troubling that if you heard them, it would keep you up. I know, because it keeps me up. And there is only hope, and sometimes that's in very short supply. You can pray for something. You say, Lord, I know you must want this. I know your objective and my objective in this matter are one. I know that there can't be anything more that you would rather have than to see those whom you have created in your house worshiping you, giving thanks to you, and receiving the gift of life from you. But they're not here. And Lord, I'm praying for those people. Will they please come? And there's seemingly nothing happening. Well, I can tell you that I have a lot of answers, but the answers do not satisfy that yearning soul. They may accommodate the intellectual part of an individual, because what I'm going to say is logical and from the Bible, but it's still not going to solve that part of you that say, my heart is still being pulled out of my chest. My emotions have attenuated, means drawn out to a thin line, all of the rest of me. I have become nothing under the weight of these emotions. And I can't get rid of them. So the Lord says, you feed them. You take care of them. This is the disciples' job. And they quake. They shake. They say, what are we going to do? We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy provisions for all these people. What are we going to do? And the Lord said, watch. The Lord said, watch. Now the Lord, symbolically, it is understood that in this time that he fed the multitude, he was doing exactly what God the Father Almighty did in the Old Testament when the children of Israel exited Egypt and they went out and they were fed manna from heaven. He's feeding the multitudes, doing exactly the same thing. And do you think the Jews could understand it? Do you think the Jews could put 2 and 2 together? Yes, they could. This is why they are so despised. If you read the Holy Fathers and their commentaries, they are despised for this, because it's apparent to us how far are we away from those who were fed in the wilderness by time. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But the Jews in the day of the incarnation of the Lord, much closer in time. And these stories were told over and over for the same reason that we tell great stories over. For encouragement, so you do not lose heart, so that you have a strong courage. It says in the book of Joshua, only be strong and of a good courage. And in the first chapter it says it 4 times. Only be strong and have a good courage, because Joshua was going to take over for Moses, the arch prophet. Those are big shoes to fill, or sandals I should have said, and a heavy staff to carry. Only be strong and of a good courage. So there is this type of encouragement in which the story causes you to get some backbone and to be stiff and resolute in your walk. Well, this was very much lacking, and it's something that in each one of us is, if we search for it, something that we can acquire. And that's why the Lord did it. So he fed the first time 5 loaves and 2 fish, and the next time 4,000 people with 7 loaves. Yeah? Now, who knows what these loaves were made of? I remember seeing this movie. It was a samurai movie. I like samurai movies, especially the ones from Akira Kurosawa, like Yojimbo or Seven Samurais or Rashomon or Ran. And these are movies that are made primarily in the 40s. About the time when I was born. I was born in 47, so about this time Akira Kurosawa was making these movies. And one of his main actors was Toshiro Mifune, if you know him. He's a very famous Japanese actor. And they talked about the poor, the very, very poor in China that were being robbed of food by wealthy shoguns. Like lords of a district, and they were only given millet, M-I-L-L-E-T, to eat. They didn't get rice. They only got millet. This is a grain, by the way, which when I used to have canary birds or parakeets, right, I would feed them millet. Millet. It's a very, very poor grain. Birds like it. Not good for humans particularly. Okay, barley is like that. It's one of the lowest forms of grain to make bread with, because it has a husk around the seed that is so tough. You know when we have Nehru's and you get the red dates. What do you say about the red dates? The red is for the blood of the martyrs. The white is in the meat of the date is for the purity of their faith. And the nut, the very hard nut in the date, or the kernel in the date, is for the steadfastness, you know, of their religious confession. You couldn't break them. And so it when you eat barley, you have this same problem. Now, you can cook barley. You can cook barley down. Some people use barley for balila, for example. Mostly it use wheat bulgur, but the more down you go, you know, in poverty level, the more you must use this kind of food. But it's the same thing. If you can get to the kernel of the barley, it's very rich, but it requires ever so much work. So we give that kind of thing like to animals to eat. This is how poor this was. This was poor food, right? So the first and second times, this is the food that they're eating. You know, some loaves made of barley and a couple of fish. And then the last time, the Lord gives... He gives his own body at the Last Supper. He says, take, eat. This is my body. This is flesh indeed. I mean, you know the narrative. The thing is that all of these are in a consistent typology. You see the feeding of the multitude in the Old Testament. You see, going forward, Jesus Christ imitating God the Father Almighty. So anybody who was despising his incarnation and taking the shape of a man would look at the thing that he had wrought and said, this is a miracle that no one has ever been able to do except God himself. Huh? So, you know, it's a type of It's a type of linkage into which we ourselves in this day, in this time, connected. Because when we come to the table of the Lord, we do not use barley. We use the finest wheat that is available. And we make a loaf of bread. And this loaf of bread, through my hands, through the permission of the bishop, through the permission of the Holy Church, through the permission of God Himself, give. Not me making the sacrifice, but Him sacrificing Himself in the original. Because we don't have a series of sacrifices in particular places at particular times. We have one sacrifice and we enter into it. Had the Jews realized when they were being fed in the wilderness, they were being fed with exactly the same mechanism as their forebears were when they left Egypt, then they would have been able to see consistently. We are partaking of the same meal. It's one meal. It's an everlasting meal. It is not bracketed by time. In other words, you don't say, well, this is the time today and that's the time tomorrow. No, it's one time. It's being fed. And it's being fed because what do parents do for their children anyway? We would gladly, if we could ensure the success of our children spiritually, to know for a fact that they were going to be in the kingdom of heaven with God, we would gladly sacrifice ourselves as a meal for our children. We would gladly turn ourselves into what the Lord did at His table. He said, here, this is my body. This is really my body. Not a type of my body, not a representation of my body, not a symbol of my body. This is my real body. And drink, this is my real blood. We would do no less. We've learned how to be fathers and mothers because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Theotokos, St. Mary, and all of those who have imitated the Lord since then, and imitated the Holy Mother since then. And we would do the same. It would be easy for us. The anguish that parents go through when children are not doing what they are supposed to do is far more painful than just to merely die. Much easier to live without this continuous emotional assault on what should be, but what hasn't yet come to fruition. And so would all of us who are sitting here today. Our parents would have said the same thing about us. Now, maybe some of your parents didn't know how you were going to turn out. Maybe some of your parents were unsure and they died before they saw you turn out to be good. And maybe we who have children now and are worried about those children, maybe we will die before we see that outcome. But having hope in the Lord and having a consistent fatherhood, now we are shepherded by His Holiness, Pope Abba Tawadros II. His fatherhood replaces Pope Shenouda's fatherhood. And there will be one to replace Abba Tawadros in the time that the Lord sees fit. But this is a continuous thing upon which we can have courage to hope, not as children hope, but to have hope that is firm and strong. The five loaves and the two fish represent, as I've said to you before, the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, and the two fish represent the holy disciples and the pure apostles, so the 12 and the 70. And these are standard symbolic representations. But what it means is to be fed from Scripture, because the way in which the Lord found these people worthy to feed physically was because they came there initially not for the food, but for the teaching. If your hunger is for the right thing, other good will follow. As it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all things will be added. All things will be added, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.